Okay, good morning everybody. Again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome back to our Shabbos Kodesh class learning. We thank our sponsor and her family very much for the zchus of sharing this Torah together this morning. May the zchus of this Torah bring many besoros tovos, nachos, and only good health to the sponsor and her entire family. So it's been a week when we are reeling from the tragedy in Meron, and the scope of the disaster is so difficult to comprehend. Not only the hundreds or thousands of those immediately affected families, Rabbanim, Talmidim, mind-boggling, but all of Klal Yisrael. So I'm just going to begin. Almost all my shiurim this week touched upon in some way connected to the Meron tragedy, Zecher Nishmas Niftarim. So today we are going to be discussing other sources. However, I just want to begin with one source related to one of the Meron Niftarim that relates to Shabbos, which is why I specifically chose this. It's a small piece about Moshe Bergman, Zichrona Levracha. He was 22 from Manchester. This is his picture. I was flipping through the Mishpacha last night, and they have snapshots of the different victims, and it makes it so much more personal when you don't just say a number, 45. You see a picture, you read a name, you read about the individual, and the magnitude of the disaster that Klal Yisrael faced this week is unbelievable. Literally, it's so hard to comprehend and you can't fathom. Moshe Bergman, 22, Manchester. This is written by Rabbi Shraga Kalis, Rabbi Shraga Kalis, Rosh Hashiva Mechon Hora'al Rabbanim. I specifically chose this piece because when I get to the end, you'll hear why for our Shabbos Kodesh class. What happened in Meron on Lag BaOmer affected so many different groups within Klal Yisrael. It's obvious that Hashem chose different korbanos. Rabbi Moshe Bergman was chosen to represent the Tzibur in England. With his love of Torah and Midos Tovos, he was from the elite of our Kolalim, Machon Hara'al Rabbanim, and the second Seder Kolal. Moshe was 22. He had been married for a year and a half. He was the first new Kola Avreich to join during Corona. He brought life to a difficult situation. He had an unparalleled love for learning. It was all alive and relevant for him. We were learning Hilchos Shabbos, and we discussed a particular approach that is prevalent in bells. That very night, Moshe was on the phone with the bells were dying to discuss it. The drive for clarity was something out of the ordinary. The same was true when we learned Hilchos Brachos, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Brachos. His schnitzel dinner became a major discussion with his wife. That's because both were totally committed to a life of Ahavas Torah together. There was another thing about Moshe. He had an infectious smile, an expression of his lev tov, his good heart. And his good-heartedness meant he had to thank the guy who arranged the minibus every single day. Yet another thing we saw about Rabbi Moshe and the Kola was his emphasis on tefillah. He had a beautiful voice, and if you took the Amud, you knew there would be proper tefillah. Moshe's Petira taught me something I've never understood before about having Talmidim. Rabbi Akiva lost 24,000 students, and it's now, only now, unfathomable to me, miraculous almost, that Rabbi Akiva was able to recover and go on and teach others. When Chazal say a Talmud is like a son, I now understand that from Moshe. The closeness of the connection that developed in less than a year was because he drank so deeply, to use the expression of Chazal from the Torah that we learned. He learned with us in the morning and afternoon, and at night he would review. And this is the end. It's kedai to learn about all the Niftarim, but specifically why I chose this is the end. I've been crying almost straight for 60 hours, from when I heard Moshe was missing. I was only able to stop on Shabbos itself by thinking of my Talmud Moshe and the fact that having learned Hilchos Shabbos, Moshe would not have wanted me to cry then for him. Tehei Zechro Baruch, this is Moshe Bergman, 22. He was from Manchester. I'm going to begin by screen sharing. We're in the middle of a piece by Rav Shamsher Fall Hirsch on the Shabbos Amida, Shabbos Morning Amida. It's right here. Can you see my screen? Yes, thank you. I'm actually going to be screen sharing for a very short time. Our share today is going to be related to the Parsha. Shabbos, Tefillah, the Parasha, and Shavuos. So I also like to try and do Inyani Dioma, and you will see everything is going to have a common theme and is connected. So we say in the Shabbos morning davening, which is the paragraph that we've been going through over here, if I can find it, V'lona sata Hashem Elokeinu l'goyei ha'artzos. This is all things we've spoken about over the past two classes. Hashem did not give Shabbos to the nations of the world. V'lo hichalta makeinu l'ovdei pisilim. The idol worshippers don't have a portion in Shabbos. And also those who are arel, uncircumcised, cannot rest on Shabbos. Only to Israel, your nation, you gave it with love. For the seed of Yaakov, in them you chose. Am mekadshe, I have to scroll down. Shvi'i, it is a nation who sanctifies the seventh day. Everyone will be satiated. Yisrael. We will have oneg mituvecha from your good. Uvashvi ratzisa bon. On the seventh day you desired it. Viki dashta, you made it holy. Chemdas yamim. And this is what we're going to be speaking about today, this topic of chemda. Shabbos is chemda, Eretz Yisrael is chemda, and Torah is chemda. So what I want to talk about today, using the tefillah of Shabbos, where Shabbos is referred to as chemdas yamim, the most desirable of all days. So we will begin in Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch. Rav Shamsher and Fal Hirsch, and this is where we're up to in the commentary of Rav Hirsch. I made a note last time. This is exactly where we're up to. Rav Hirsch says in his commentary to the Siddur, the Shabbos is Chemdas Yamim. It is through the Shabbos, the most desirable of these. It is through the Shabbos that the preceding 6 days of creation, so the days of creation, and our own 6 days of work, the 6 days in which we create, that have just passed, receive their true purpose, worth, and meaning. So the chemda of Shabbos, the desirability, the charm, the beauty of Shabbos, through chemda Shabbos, it gives the previous 6 days that we work, and the 6 days of creation of Maaseh Bereishis, it gives them their true purpose. So without Shabbos, the 6 days of Melacha would not have any true purpose. Without Shabbos, everything that we do would not have any worth, it would not have any meaning. Famous saying, it's not that the Jews keep Shabbos, it's that Shabbos keeps the Jews. So now I go to the Siddur of Rav Soloveitchik, commentary of Rav Soloveitchik on the Siddur. What does it mean that Shabbos is Chemda? What is this topic? What is this idea of Chemda? So Rav Soloveitchik comments, Chemdas Yamim, the same passage in the Shachris Tefillah, Chemdas Yamim, the most cherished of days, also Karasa, you call Shabbos the most cherished of these. Okay? The Torah source for the appellation, where does this idea come from? The Shabbos is Chemdas Yamim. So Rav Soloveitchik says, the Torah source for the appellation, Chemdas Yamim, the most cherished, most desirable of days, is obscure. So we're not exactly sure where the appellation, the name for Shabbos being Chemdas Yamim comes from. The Baal HaTurim, the Tur, the Rishon, amongst others, writes that the term is derived from the Pasuk on the seventh day, Vayechal Elokim Bayam Hashvi Melachto Asher Osa. Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Beis, Vayechal Elokim Hashem finished Melachto Asher Osa. And the Baal HaTurim writes that the term Chemda is derived from that phrase, Vayechal. The word Vayechal doesn't only mean finished, says Rabbi Soloveitchik, based on the Baal term, it means yearned, to yearn for something, to desire something. The phrase can thus mean, Vayechal Elokim Bayam Hashvi, God yearned for, God desired the seventh day. God desires Shabbos. We have a mitzvah to emulate the Ribbono Shel Olam, so we should too desire Shabbos. We should walk in His ways. The phrase can therefore mean, God yearned for the seventh day, which is indeed the way the verse is rendered in one of the Aramaic translations on the Torah. So an alternative interpretation to Hashem finished His work on the seventh is that Hashem desired the seventh. The alternate interpretation of the word chemda in Aramaic relates to the word kalta, as found in the verse kalta nafshi, my song longs for you, my soul longs for you, Hashem. So we have this idea that Vayechal relates to longing for Shabbos, Hashem longs for Shabbos. The proof is the Aramaic translation of Vayechal is kalta, and the Pasuk in Tehillim says, kalta nafshi, my soul longs for you, Hashem. So we are trying to derive, where do we have proof that chemda in the Torah refers to Shabbos, and it's based on this Baal term. Consistent with the Tur's explanation, the Baal term, Rav Chaim Heller noted, in the Aramaic translation of the Torah, explicitly translates the phrase in this sense, Vayechal Elokim b'yam mishvim melachto asher asa, God Himself yearns for Shabbos. Okay? The meaning of the root word Ches Mem Dalad, which is, we just saw in the Tfilos, is also Karas Hashem, called it Chemdas Yamim. So the root word Chet Mem Dalad, that's by the way the 10th Dibra, Okay, mosachmo, but here we're talking about in a positive sense. The meaning of the root word chemet can also be inferred from the Torah's description of the Eitz Hadas. When you go back to Parshas Bereishis, the Torah describes that Isha looked at the tree, v'nechmar ha'eitz ha'askil. The tree had some sort of desirable property to it. It was also chemda. Nechmar, therefore, means attractive. So Shabbos is not only desirable, but Shabbos has a degree of attraction to us. It attracts us to it. Rather than beautiful or pleasant, it doesn't only mean beautiful or pleasant, it doesn't only mean desirable, there's something attractive that pulls us in. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, something can be both beautiful and pleasant, but not necessarily attract. You could say that something's beautiful, and you could say it's pleasant, doesn't mean you're attracted to it. On the other hand, sometimes something has the power to attract a person like a magnet. Sometimes you're just drawn to something. I also saw in two different places in the Mishpacha that Ozzy Koltai, who is 13 years old from Har Nof, sounds like such a unique and special young Bachra, unbelievable. The mail carrier was found crying outside his apartment building, and when he found out that Ozzy had been nifter, and I asked him why he was crying, he said that Ozzy always helped him distribute the mail and always made sure to stop and talk to him, and the mailman was crying. How much of interaction could he have already had that this young boy made such an impression on him? Sometimes things pull you in like a magnet. There's an attraction. So therefore, chamar also means something fascinating, something pulling, and Shabbos pulls us in. Shabbos is desirable. One becomes intoxicated in the face of such a thing. You can't resist something that is nechmad. So in regard to Isha, like a sleepwalker, she came under the spell of the tree. The fruit was fascinating, desirable. It drew her in like a magnet. So obviously that's for the negative. But here we learn that Shabbos is called Chemdas Yamim Osa Karasa. Hashem called Shabbos the Chemdas Yamim. So it doesn't only mean that he desired it, Kaviyachos, if Hashem desires. It doesn't only mean he desired it, but Shabbos is meant to pull us in. And that's how we should feel about Shabbos. We should emulate this idea of Hashem called Shabbos the day that is the most chamud. We too should call Shabbos chamdas yamim. What does that mean? A, to desire Shabbos, we should wait for her. We should be excited when she comes. We should prepare for her with joy. We should say we can't not remember last time. I found it so incredible last time, not just because you want to take a nap, whether you do or you don't. The rest is cessation because we pay homage to God, that everything we have is His. That's why we learned last time. We specifically stopped Melechas Machshavas. So first of all, we should desire Shabbos. That's one interpretation of Chemdas Yamim. But we also have to understand that Shabbos has a pull. Shabbos pulls us in like a magnet, and we can't resist her. And unlike Isha, who took from the Eitz Hadas because she was pulled in this case it's positive. We should let ourselves be pulled into Shabbos. We should feed that magnetic pull. Moshe Bergman's Rabbi said, I can only now understand Rabbi Akiva with the loss of his Talmidim and the Herculean efforts it took to rise up again. How did Rabbi Akiva possibly rebuild? He says, I lost one Talmid. I've been crying for 60 hours straight. But the only time I stopped crying was Shabbos. Because I knew my Talmud, having learned Hilcha Shabbos, would not want me to cry for him on this day. Shabbos has such a magnetic attraction, she should draw us in with great love and great desire. So nechmad, chemdas hayamim, means A, something desirable, and B, even more than desirable, a magnetic force that pulls you in. This is the meaning of the root word chamad, chet mem dalet. And that's why it is indeed is appropriate to describe Shabbos, a day for which God himself yearned, as the most cherished of days. So tomorrow morning when you Bezer Hashem daven your tefillah Shemona Esrei for Shachris, Uvashvi Ratzisubo Vikidashto, God desired the seventh day and he sanctified it, Chemdas Yamim, the most cherished of all days that pulls us in like a magnet, Osa Karasa. That's how Hashem views Shabbos, and that is certainly how we too shall view Shabbos. So Shabbos is called Chemda. Another thing that is called Chemda is Eretz Yisrael. I mentioned that this year is going to relate to Shabbos, Parsha, and Shavuos. Since we don't know next week Erev Shavuos, I want us to be able to take some thoughts related to Shavuos with us from this year. It will relate to Shabbos as well, as you will see. What else is called Chemda? Eretz Yisrael. Where's the Pasuk? In Sefer Tehillim Kuf Vav, chapter 106, it says, Vayim Asu be'eretz Chemda. Lo ha'eminu lidivro, la'im asu be'eretzchem. They rejected, they abhorred, they were disgusted. But what were they disgusted by? Eretz chemda. Now, if chemda, as we already described it, is twofold. One, it's desirable, and two, it should pull us in like a magnet. Can we imagine that they rejected the Eretz chemda? How could it be that they spoke lashon hara about something so desirable and something that should pull you in like a magnet, has a special draw? And not only does Hashem desire Shabbos, but we also know Hashem desires the other chemda, which is Eretz Israel. The pasuk tells us in Devarim, "Eretz asher Hashem Elokecha doresh osa tamid." Einei Hashem Elokecha ba mireishis hashana v'ad ach rishana. Perikid Aleph of Devarim, right before the second paragraph of Shema. I think it's Devarim Perikid Aleph pasuk Yud Beis. I think. Eretz Hashem Hashem Elokecha doresh osa tamid. Hashem is pulled in kaviyachal into Eretz Israel. It is a desirable land. It's an Eretz Chemda, and it is a magnetic land. So the pasuk says in Tehillim once again, "Vayim asu be'eretz chemda." They rejected the desirable land. Lo ha'aminu ledivro. They did not believe God's word that Eretz Yisrael is a good land. So we see here, kapito kovav pasuk chavdala, that Eretz Yisrael is referred to as an eretz chemda. So Hashem has certain precious things. Klal Yisrael is precious. Shabbos is precious. There are certain foundations of our yahadus. One of them is Shabbos. It's not that the Jews keep Shabbos, it's that Shabbos keeps the Jews. Like Rabbi Soloveitchik says, we've survived 2,000 years without the temple. We would not have survived 1 week without Shabbos. Another thing that keeps us is Eretz Yisrael. And finally, the third chemda that we will see shortly is Torah's chemda. The Torah is chemda. And if a Kosh Baruch Hu desires and is pulled in by these elements, Shabbos, Eretz Yisrael, and Torah, then we who have a mitzvah to emulate v'halach the bedracha v'leilich achar midos of Shal Kosh Baruch Hu should also be drawn in by the desirability and the magnetism of Shabbos, every single week, no matter where we are, Eretz Yisrael, and finally Torah Yisrael. It relates to this week's parsha as follows. This week's parsha is Parshas Bahar. Well, the parshios are Bahar B'chukosai. This is an insight into Parsha. So the pasuk says B'chukosai is full of terrible klalos. Perichavav is the tochacha, the rebuke, and harsh punishments that will befall the people. Rachmana Litzlan. So the pasuk says in Perichav Zayin, pasuk Lamed Beis, V'hashimosi ani es ha'aretz. God says, I will bring, let the land lay desolate. Shomema. After the death of Rabbi Akiva's 24,000 talmidim, the Gemara uses this lashon, V'haya ha'olam shamem. There's no Torah, the world is desolate. When the Jews aren't in Eretz Yisrael, like the Pesukim tell us, then the land will be desolate. V'hashimosi ani es ha'aretz, the land will lay desolate. V'shamamu aleho ayveichem ha'yoshvim ba. Your enemies who inhabit the land in your absence will find desolation. So what does this mean? So Rashi tells us in the midst of all the terrible klalos, there's actually a bracha. Rashi says, Zol mida tova l'Israel. This is a good measure for Israel. What's a good measure? Not that we're going to be in Galus and the land will be desolate, but the enemies who come to the land will not find success. It will be desolate for them. So Rashi says, Chaf vav lamed beis zo mida tova liYisrael. This is a good measure for Israel. Shelo yimatzu ha'ovim nachas ruach ba'artam. When the enemy comes to Eretz Yisrael, which is a desirable land, you'll see in a minute. We already quoted the pasuk from Tehillim. The enemy will not find pleasure in our land. They won't find any enjoyment in our land. When Eretz Yisrael is desolate of her inhabitants, i.e., Yisrael, she will not be fruitful for any other nation. Only we are able to access the bounty of Eretz Yisrael. So this is a bracha. In the midst of all the klalos, we have a bracha that the Eretz Chemda will remain faithful to her people. Rabbi Soloveitchik says, and this is from Chumash Masoros Harav Vayikra. Rashi comments, this is good news for Israel. The enemies will not find any gratification in the land. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, the land of Israel cannot be built by any group of people. Only the Jewish people, Am Yisrael, possess the capacity to transform it into a settled land and make the desolate waste bloom. This divine promise became a miraculous fact in the history of the land of Israel during various periods. We must not forget, you have to hear the word that's coming, even for a moment, that the land of Israel drew the nations of the world, Christians and Muslims alike, like a magnet. Why? Because what is one of the properties of Chemda? Shabbos draws us in. What else draws us like a magnet? You can't resist the pull when something is nechmad. That's why Isha could not resist the pull of the tree. She felt overcome. She should never have engaged with the Nachash in the first place. Once she started talking to him, that was the beginning of the end. Eretz Yisrael draws in all nations of the world, Christians and Muslims alike. However, despite the fact that they are drawn in, she will not yield to them. The medieval crusades were undertaken for the purpose of conquering the land of Israel and colonizing with a Christian population. All the efforts of the crusades were in vain. They could not take root in the land. Even the Muslims did not succeed in colonizing it properly. Says Rabbi Soloveitchik, and I quote, "Those who exile the Jewish people and replace them as the residents of Eretz Yisrael will reside in a desolate land. They will starve. The land will not give of herself to the people. Our enemies drove our ancestors out of Jerusalem. They set fire to the Beis Hamikdash. They destroyed it." We're talking about the Churban. "But they never colonized it. They never populated it. Har Tzion was desolate for a very long time." Rabbi Akiva, Sfer HaOmer, the great Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim saw Har HaMoriah, Har Tzion, desolate with the foxes, and they were crying, and he was laughing. Mount Zion was desolate for a very long time, and despite many attempts, not a single nation, not one other people, by the way, this Monday is Yom Yerushalayim, ever succeeded in establishing a state in Eretz Yisrael. Without Yom Yerushalayim, we would not be able to daven at the Kosel, Kever Rachel, Chevron. I was able to be in Chevron our last trip to Eretz Yisrael 2 years ago for the first time since I was a child. Ooh, sitting by the Mark Tzionim of the Avos and the Imahos that we can't have access to, the whole Gush Etzion region, the Golan Heights, without Yom Yerushalayim, we would not have access to these holy places. And Har Tzion was desolate for a very long time, and despite many attempts, not a single nation, not one other people ever succeeded in colonizing Eretz Yisrael. Many people were eager, they tried. It was considered holy by the Muslims and the Christians. Remember earlier, he says it drew them like a magnet. It was occupied by many powers, Rome, Byzantium, Muslims, Crusaders, Muslims again. It changed hands so many times throughout history, but no one could develop Eretz Yisrael agriculturally, scientifically, or industrially. Why? Because what does the Pasuk say in Tehillim, which we began this section of Shir with? Vayim'asu be'aretz chemda. How is Eretz Yisrael described as an Eretz Chemda? Everyone desires something that is Nechman. Everyone is pulled in. But Eretz Yisrael makes a deal with Am Yisrael. When you're here, I will yield. When you're not here, I will not yield. So in the middle of these terrible calls of Bichukosai, there's actually Divrei Nechama to us. I won't give myself. I will remain faithful. In the 18th and the beginning of the 19th centuries, continues the Rav, entire continents, huge stretches of land, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, were colonized and settled by the British. They took desert country. They took jungle. They converted it into blossoming gardens. They brought civilization to the pagans, but the same British did not have success in colonizing Eretz Yisrael. Ah, quote, "It is a special land, an Eretz Chemda." With the exception of a small colony here and there, no one was able to colonize Eretz Yisrael. She remained a desolate land, which is exactly what the prophecy in this week's parasha tells us. Vashimosi aniyasa aretz, the land will lay desolate when we're in the land of our enemies. However, v'shamamu alau oivechem hayoshvim bach, when the enemy comes to inhabit the land because we're not there, the land will remain desolate. They will find desolation. Why, says Rabbi Soloveitchik? Because, where was the quote? "It is a special land. She is an Eretz Chemda. Shabbos is Chemda. Eretz Yisrael is Chemda. And Torah is Chemda." That means we have to allow ourselves to desire these elements. And we have to allow ourselves to be pulled in by their magnetism and treat them how they're meant to be treated. If Shabbos is desirable to the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we should be pulled in and treat her like she is desirable. Like she is precious. Like she is special. And if Eretz Yisrael is desirable to the Ribbono Shel Olam, then we should treat Eretz Yisrael the way God wants it to be treated. And if Torah is Chemda, which we will see shortly, we're going to go to the Gemara in Masech HaShabbos, where the Gemara talks about Shabbos, Torah being also this idea of Chemda. And how shall we treat these elements that the Ribbono Shel Olam sees as so precious? Contrast this to the flourishing of the Yeshuv in Eretz Yisrael. It is a very young Yeshuv, in existence since the turn of the 20th century, and see what its members have accomplished. Apparently, there is a sense of loyalty on the part of the land of Israel. She will never betray her people. She will not give herself over to strangers or conquerors. She will save herself only for the people to whom Eretz Yisrael belongs. And the Pasuk says, "Vayim asu be'aretz chemda." We should be cognizant of what we rejected, of what we gave away, of how we abhor the land that God so strongly desires. So Chemdas Yamim Oso Karasa, Zecha L'masa Barishis. We went through Rav Shem Shem Fal Hirsch on the Siddur and Rav Soloveitchik on the Siddur. Chemda means both desire and a magnetic pull in regard to Shabbos. Hashem desired Shabbos. V'ayichalokim b'yamashvim l'achlo ha-shasa. The Aramaic interpretation of that is that Hashem desired the Shabbos day. So too, we have to desire this day that is Chemda. Eretz Yisrael, and we see it from this week's parasha, is a land that is so desirable through her magnetic force. She draws in all the nations of the world, but she will only yield herself to the people to whom Eretz Yisrael belongs. And now we go to the Gemara Masechah Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us, Shabbos Peiches Amud Beis. Right. Here we go. So the Gemara says, V'amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi says, B'shal she'ala Moshe l'marom, when Moshe went ascended to the heights, Amru, to get the Torah, okay? So we are about a week away. It's the final days of Sfiras HaOmer. Next Sunday night, Be'ezrat Hashem, we will usher in Zman Matan Torah Sinu, and we will commemorate the giving of the Torah. When Moshe went up to the heights to get the Torah, Amru Malachei Sharis Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the heavenly angels and the heavenly convocation said before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono She'olam, Master of the World, Ma Lilud Isha Beinenu, what is a human being doing amongst us? Lilud Isha. What is someone born to a woman doing up here? This is the realm of angels. Why is he here? Amar Lahen, God said to the angels, the Kabel Torah Ba. You know why he's here? He came to receive the Torah. When you receive the Torah, you can move up to the realm of angels. Amru Lefanav, the angel said before him, Chamuda Ginuza. Ganuz is something hidden away. They describe the Torah as Chamuda Ginuza. Chamuda Ganuza, the desirable Torah that you have hid away. How does Artsko translate that? The coveted and treasured Torah. She Ganuza lecha tisha meos v'shivim v'arba doros kodem shenivra olam. Your Torah is such a nechmad. It was in Geniza for 974 generations before the world was created. Atam vakesh litna lebasar v'dam. You're going to take this out of the Geniza? It is so chemda. We desire Torah. We're attracted to Torah. You're going to give it to them down there? What does this mean? Tisha me'os v'shivim v'arba doros kodem shenivra olam, that the Torah was hidden away for 974 generations before the world was created. What does that mean? So Rashi on the Gemara says, ba'apayim shana shekadma Torah l'olam, in the 2,000 years the Torah preceded the world, okay? We know that the Zohar, I think it's maybe the most famous teaching of the Zohar, which Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai gave us on his Hilula before he was Niftar, Hashem looked into the Torah to create the world. So that means that the Torah preceded creation of this world. So Rashi says, ba'alpayim shana shekadma Torah l'olam, in the 2,000 years that Torah preceded the world, hayu asidin doros halalu l'hibraos, these 974 generations were destined to be created. Okay, shanam, like the pasuk says in Tehillim, davar tziva la alef dor. Your word, you commanded for 1,000 generations. So the Rashi here interprets, based on this Gemara, that it means that these worlds were these generations, not worlds. These generations were destined to create it before the Torah was given. So there were supposed to be 974 generations before Matan Torah. However, there are only 26. Because there was 26 generations from Adam HaRishon, the first man, to Moshe Rabbeinu, who brought us the Torah from Shemayim. V'ra Kodesh Baruch Hu she'ein ha'olam miskayim below Torah. But the Rabbeinu Olam saw that he cannot create the world and leave it so many generations without Torah. The world cannot exist without Torah for so long. Oh, sorry, I missed the second phrase of Rashi. V'ra Kodesh Baruch Hu she'ein ha'olam miskayim below Torah kol kach. The world cannot exist for so long without Torah. The ha'aviran, so therefore he passed over those generations, v'lo baran, and he did not create those generations, v'nasna l'chof av doros. And therefore, after 26 doros, Hashem saw that if the Torah was not going to be given, the world would be obliterated. You cannot make it through 1,000 generations without Torah in this world. And therefore he passed over, v'ha'aviran, he skipped over, passed over, those generations, he passed them by. He didn't create those generations. V'nasna l'chaf av dohos. And after 26 generations from Adam to Moshe, Hashem gave the Torah. Hare shechasru, therefore there are missing taf kuf ayin dalad me elef. 974 are missing from 1,000. So there's supposed to be 1,000 doros, but there are only 26, so 974 doros were missing. That's how the angels come to this calculation that they say the treasure of Torah, the chemda, the chamuda genuza, which is the description of Torah here in the Gemara, was hidden for 974 generations, meaning there was supposed to be 974, but the Torah was hidden away, and then they didn't happen because God said, I have to reveal the Torah or the world will absolutely be obliterated. But Bekitzer, interesting piece of Gemara with the Rashi, but Bekitzer, the point is that you see here that Beferish, the Gemara says, okay, these dapim of Gemara, Peches Amar Aleph, is where it says, Kafa Aleim Har Kigigis, they each got the crown by Nasa Venishma. If you take the Torah, good. If you don't, here will be your burial place. So these dapim in Masech HaShabbos are where Chazal, I'm sure other places in the Gemara, of course, as well, discuss some aspects of Matan Torah. So here too, the Gemara tells us when Moshe went up to Shemayim to get the Torah. The angels don't want us to have the Torah, but what they specifically say is Chamuda Genuza. This, I don't want to translate it. The Chamuda Genuza is an appellation for Torah. It's Nechmad and it's Ganuz. It's hidden away. Why are you giving it to them? So what happened? You want to give this precious, this Chamuda, this desirable object that has been hidden away to man? And they quote a pasuk from Tehillim, the angels. Ma enosh kisis karenu. What is man that you should remember him, God? Uven Adam and the sons of man, kisif kedenu, that you should recall him. What are they? They're not worth anything. You're really recalling and thinking of the sons of man to give them the Torah? Hashem Adonenu, Hashem our God, ma adir shimcha b'chal ha'aretz. How grand is your name on all the earth already. Atat nahor chal shemayim. Leave your glory in the heavens. So the angels say, man is so worthy that you should remember him. Why are you remembering him? Hashem. Tna hodcha ala shemayim, please keep your glory in the heavens. That's from Tehillim, Parak Ches. So Rashi says, Ma adir shimcha, how awesome, how great is your name. Adir hu, harbe ba'aretz. Hashem, you're already so strong and mighty in the ground. Ve'ein ra'i l'cha l'tein hodcha sham. Don't worry, you don't have to put your glory down there, God. Ki'im ala shemayim, keep your glory up here. So the angels are arguing. There's a Beis Din convening before the Ribon Shalom Kaviyacha. Moshe's there as the defense for Klal Yisrael in the world. And the angels are there as the prosecution. And they're saying this Chamuda Genuza, which is what they describe Torah as. That's what you're giving away to Knesset Yisrael. That's what you're giving to the world. You should keep it here. Like Rashi says, Adir hu harbe ba'aretz. You're already so strong and grand upon the earth. Ve'ein ra'i l'chalitein hod Hashem kim al shemayim. You should just keep your hod up here. You should keep your glory up here. You don't need to give it down there. That's the argument of the angels. So what happens? So it's a good argument. So Amar lo kosh baruch hu l'Moshe. Hashem said to Moshe, Hachazer lahen teshuva. Give them an answer. So you see that because it was Chamuda Genuza, the angels even desired it. When something is Nechmad, it draws everyone in. We desire that object, and it's a magnetic force upon us. We saw it in regard to Shabbos, based on the pasuk from Tehillim. We saw based on the Tur's interpretation of Ayechal Elokim, we saw it in regard to Eretz Yisrael, based on the pasuk from Tehillim related to this week's parasha, and now we see it in regard to Torah, that even the angels say, we desire her so much, they describe her as Chamuda Genuza, how could you give it down? So when God gives Moshe an opportunity to answer, perhaps what we could say is, he's saying to Moshe, the angels desire Torah, and feel the magnetic pull. Tell me, Moshe, do Basar Vedam, do the Jews desire Torah? If you want to argue, you better argue based on this, their arguments. They desire what I desire, said Hashem. Do you desire what I desire? So Hashem said, Hachazer lehen teshuva, so taka. Moshe, you're the defense, so speak up. Amar lefanav. Moshe was afraid. Ribon sha'olam. Moshe Rabbeinu said, Master of the world, misyare ani. I'm afraid. Shema yisrafuni. Why? Well, what the angels might do to me? Lisraf. Shema yisrafuni bahavel shabipihem. I'm afraid they will burn me up with the breath in their mouth. Amar lo, echoz b'kisei kvodi, v'chazor lehen teshuva. God said, hold on to my kisei hakavod. It will protect you from the fiery breath of the angels. Hold on to my kisei hakavod and give them an answer. There is a beautiful art school footnote. This itself is a response to the angels. Only man can be part of the lower world and yet reach the throne of glory. Man has to know how great they are. You could be a mortal man. Moshe was Lo kam nav b'Yisrael k'moshe, sheyado Hashem panim apanim. V'yish Moshe adam amikol adam shal p'nei adama. So we can't fathom, literally, the godless. It's impossible for us to fathom the godless of Moshe, but he was still a human being. He died, he was buried, he lived, he was married, not for a long time. He had to atapo amod imadi. who is immortal. But yeah, God said, hold on to the Kisei HaKavod. And the article footnote says, this is a response to the angels. This teaches us that man can be part of a lower world and man can reach the throne of glory. So, Moshe held on to the Kisei HaKavod, and now he starts to defend Knesset Yisrael on the world that we should get the Torah. Amar Lefanov, Moshe said before Hashem, Ribono Sha'olam. So they're having a discussion. The angels are here in the court. Moshe's here. Kaviyach, there's Ribono Sha'olam, the Kisei HaKavod, which Moshe's holding on to. Ribono Sha'olam, Torah Sha'ata no Seinli, Maksivba. Ribono Sha'olam, the Torah that you're planning to give me, that the angels don't want you to give me. What's written in it? Dibra number one. Dibra number one, Moshe quotes, I am the Lord your God who took you out from the land of Egypt, from the house of slavery. So again, this passage as relates to Matan Torah and Moshe's defense of Knesset Yisrael, and that the fact that the world should get the Torah is going to all be based on the Aseres HaDibros. So it might be Chemda, but you have to be able to access and utilize it. And what's so interesting is that these three elements that are Nechmad are all inaccessible to the Umas HaOlam. By Shabbos, we saw it in the Siddur, by Shabbos, V'lona Sata Hashem Elkeinu the Goye HaArtzos. Shabbos has a desire and a pull, but the Umas HaOlam cannot access Shabbos. Eretz Yisrael is Eretz Chemda, and it has a desire and a magnetism, but the Umas HaOlam cannot be successful. V'shamamu Allah Ha'ivecham HaYoshvim Ba. It's only accessible to Am Yisrael, even though everybody feels the pull. And so too Torah. The Old Testament is Rahman Son, the five books of Moses, translated into English. But can they really access the desirability of Torah? Just like they can access the Nechmad of Eretz Yisrael, just like they can access the Chemdas Yomim of Shabbos, so too the Umas HaOlam cannot access the Chamda Genuza of Shabbos, of Torah. So Moshe's argument that we should get the Torah is the Aseres HaDibros. First, he begins by quoting Dibra number one. Anoch Hashem Elkecha Shosusicha Meretz Yitzrayim Beis Avadim. Amar Lahen, Moshe said to the angels, Limitzrayim Yiradatem? Were you enslaved in Egypt? Did you go down to Egypt? Leparo Hishtabadatem? Were you in Shibud Mitzrayim to Pharaoh? Was there a taskmaster standing over your back with a whip? Were you doing Avodas Parach? Was it your babies who were thrown into the Nilus River? Torah Lama Tehelechem. What do you need the Torah for? What are you going to do with the Dibra of Anoch Hashem Elkecha? I am the Lord God who took you out of Egypt from the house of slavery. Did you descend to Egypt? Were you being whipped in Egypt? Did you have Avodas Parach? Can you say Avadim Ayinu the Parah B'Mitzrayim? The angels don't answer. Shuv Maksiba continues the defense attorney, Moshe Rabbeinu. So let's see, what else is written in the Torah? Dibra number two, Lo yelachoy loy machir ma'panai, you should not have gods of others before me. Says Moshe to the angels, Ben amim atem shiruyin sha'ovdim avodas gilulim. So tell me, are you living amongst the nations of the world who worship idols? My people down there, says Moshe Rabbeinu, have to contend with the nations of the world who also inhabit the world along with us. And we need the command of thou shalt not have gods of others before me when we see the ways of the nations of the world around us who are ovdei gilulim. Do you have to contend with the nations of the world who worship idols? The angels don't answer. Shuv Maksiba, what else is written in the Torah? Ah, fourth dibra, Zachar es yom Shabbos lekadsho. What is written in the Torah says, Moshe, remember the Sabbath day to sanctify it. Said Moshe to the angels, Kulum atem osi melacha, sha'atem tzrichim shavus. So tell me, do you engage in any kind of labor from which you need to cease and rest? Excuse me. Shuv Maksiba. He continues, Lo tisa shem Hashem Elkecha Shav. Interestingly, the Dibros here are quoted out of order, if you noticed. Zachar Shem Shabbos Lekadsho is the fourth Dibra. Lo tisa shem Hashem Elkecha Shav is the third Dibra. There is a footnote here that points out Dikduke Sofrim records a version of the Gemara's text, which the verses appear in the reverse order. So I'm using the art scroll. Gemara, this is how it's written here, but there is one version of the Gemara where it's in order. So the third Dibra, Lo Yalecha, comes after Lo Tisa Shem Hashem Elokecha L'Shav, comes after Lo Yalecha. I'm just pointing that out in case your mind wondered why I said Zachar before Lo Tisa. That's how it brought down here. But Lamaisa, what's Moshe doing? He's going through the Seres. Were you in Egypt? So can you accept a God who took you out of Egypt? Do you live amongst the nations of the world and have to contend with a Yetzer Hara for Avodas Alilim, Avodas Gelulim? Zachar Soma Shabbos Lekacho? Klum Atem Osi Melachos Atem Tzrichim Shvus? You need a rest? Are you doing work from which you need to cease working? Lo Tisa Shem Hashem Kachal Shab. You cannot take God's name in vain. Masa Umaton Yesh Binechem. Is there business transactions amongst you that might lead you to make an oath in vain? Doesn't answer. The angels don't answer. Shuv Maksibo. What else is written in the Torah? 50 bra. Kaveda Savicha Vasimecha. Thou shalt honor thy father and the mother. Lamani and Bichun Yemecha. Av Vaim Yesh Lachem. Do you have a father and a mother that you need to honor? Shuv Maksiba. What else is written? Lo Tirtzach, thou shalt not murder. Lo Tinaf, thou shalt not commit adultery. Lo Tignov, you shall not steal. Kina Yesh Beinechem, is there any jealousy amongst you? And Rashi on the Gemara says, Kina Yesh Beinechem, Sha'atem Ba'im al Yedei Zeh, al Yada Ludei Ritzicha, is there jealousy amongst you that will lead you to murder somebody else? So, extreme Kina could lead to rechitza, ritzicha. It reminds me of Yosef and the brothers. Vayisnu oso achav vayikano bo. They were jealous of him. Hine bal hachalamus ala zaba v'chu v'nahar genu v'nashlicha al achar aboros. They were so jealous of him, his ksonas pasim, his father's love, the ben zukunim, that the kina led them to say v'chu v'nahar genu. So Moshe says, so it says, Lo tirtach, thou shalt not murder. Lo tinaf, thou shalt not commit adultery. Lo tignov, you shall not steal. Kina yesh b'neichem, do you have jealousy amongst you that you would do these things? Yetzer hara yesh b'neichem, according to the Gemara. Do you have an evil inclination that sways you to do adultery, to murder, to steal? So Moshe went through that Seres HaDibros. That was his defense. And he said to the angels, you can't fulfill these things. Miyad hodu lo hakosh baruch hu. Immediately the judge, capital J, conceded that the defense prosecutor is correct. He conceded to Moshe Rabbeinu. Miyad kol echad ve'echad na'asa lo ohev. Immediately each and every angel became Moshe's friend, Moshe's beloved. Umasar lo davar. And they all gave him something. Like the Pasuk says, Alisa la Marom, you came up to the heights. Shavisa Shevi, Moshe, you took a captive. La Kachta Matanos Ba'adam, you took down presents to man. What did Moshe get? The Chamuda Genuza. The precious, desirable, magnetic force pulling us in of the Chiyus of Torah. That's what Moshe got. Bishar Shekarucha Adam La Kachta Matanos. In the merit that you are called Adam, you got to take these presents because the Torah is not shayach to the malachim. Concludes this piece of Gemara, Af malach hamavas masar lo davar. Even the angel of death gave Moshe a present. What did the angel of death give Moshe a present? Says Rashi on the Gemara, Lahak tir machtos kitores b'shas magefa v'lamo b'ne meisim b'ne chayim. If you remember from Bamidbar, the machokas of Korach, after that, the Jews started dying. So Moshe says to Aaron, quickly take the ketores, take a fire pan, put the incense spices, and stand between the living and the dead, and the plague, v'natzar hamagefa, the plague will stop. When did Moshe learn the secret that the ketores stops the malach hamaves? In Shemayim. The malach hamaves, all the angels gave Moshe a present. What was the present? They gave him Torah. Even the malach, so to speak, Hashem gave the Torah. They conceded that the Torah doesn't need to stay up there. Even the Malach HaMavis gave him a present, which is the secret of the Ketores. So what, how do we have to live our lives? What is the guiding principle in our lives? We have to see what Hashem desires. And we emulate the Ribbon Sholem, and we must desire what he desires. Ribbon Sholem called Shabbos, Chemdas Yamim, Osa Karasa Zeichel Amasa Bereshus. Hashem Vayichalkim B'Yamashvim Melach Torah Asher Asa. Hashem concluded his work, but the Aramaic interpretation is Hashem desired Shabbos. And it should pull us in, and we should be excited for Shabbos. Eretz Yisrael is called Vayimasu be'aretz chemda. Lo shamu l'davro, l'dibro. Lo ha'aminu, I'm sorry, l'divro. We rejected an Eretz chemda. And in this week's parasha, we are taught that Eretz Yisrael is such a chemda that even the Christians and the Muslims desire Eretz Yisrael. They're pulled in by her magnetism, but she will remain faithful to us. And finally, what else is chemda? The chemda gnuza of Torah. That the Ribbono Shel Olam saw the world cannot exist for 1,000 years, so it was supposed to be hidden away for 1,000, but after 26 generations, the Ribbono Shel Olam gave us the Torah. And Moshe went up to the heavens. The angel said, the chemda gnuza that has been gnuz for almost 1,000 years, you're giving to them, what do they need it for? And Moshe said, you know why we need it? Because you didn't go to Egypt, so you can't accept Anochi. And you don't live amongst the nations of the world who worship idols, so you can't do Lo Yelech. And you don't have business transactions where you might take an oath in vain. And you don't have work that you need rest, so how could you keep Zachar, Zem, Shabbos, the Kodjo? So all these elements that are classified as Chamud, Chet, Mem, Dalet, everyone desires them, but only Knesset Yisrael, the Am HaNivchar, can access them. V'lo nosata Hashem Elokeinu l'goyei ha'artzos, v'lo hichalta Elokeinu l'ovdei pisilim, v'gam b'minuchoso lo yushkenu areilim, l'chemdas yamim, l'chemdas ha'aretz, and l'chemdas ha'torah, is Ribbono Shel Olam's greatest gift to us. Everyone might feel the pull, but only Knesset Yisrael can benefit from these treasures. So Be'ezer Hashem, Shabizacha Tawika Basuras Tovos. Hashem should bring comfort to the bereaved families and to all of Klal Yisrael. We're all mourning. And when you start to read about the Niftarim, you realize how much they appreciated the Chemda. They were all in Eretz Yisrael, even some foreigners. They went to Eretz Yisrael specifically. When you read about their Deveika, start to read about them individually for Shabbos and Torah. We understand the path that we should be on. Baruch Shalom says, I have these wonderful gifts for you. And everyone might desire them, but only you, Knesset Yisrael, can access them. Let us live up to the defense that Moshe gave on our behalf in Shemayim. The angels can't keep the Chemda Gnuza, but we can with all that it entails. While we stand on earth, Hashem said, you can hold on to my Kisei HaKavod. Only a mortal can stand on earth and reach up to the very heights of heaven by acknowledging the Chemdas Yamim, the Eretz Chemda, and the Chemda Genuza, which are the beacons that really guide our path in this very dark and confusing world. They bring us much light. Shabbos, Eretz Yisrael, and Torah. So I thank everyone for taking the time to join me. I thank you for allowing me to present this shiur, which I found very meaningful. I think Torah is amazing. We thank our sponsor and our family very, very much. And I wish everybody a wonderful Shabbos and only Besuras Tovos. Thank you so much. Kol Tov.